Jam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool, where all episodes of Monday Night Magic are now live-streamed. Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Schmancy. All right.
On the internet.
We might be sort of monstering through this episode quickly because, one, we have 2 weeks, not really, worth...
We have two weeks worth of stuff
to do, but one of those weeks doesn't really count, and because we didn't record last week because there wasn't enough. And then we are starting this episode like an hour and a half late because Squee was stuck at work. So
yeah.
So rapid fire. I'm Chewy. Hi. Over there, or over there, is Squee with the hat.
Hi.
And way with over the there is Clues with the hoodie.
Hey, hey.
I'm Chewy.
Yeah,
I
you
don't
are.
Have a hat or a hoodie.
Good adjective.
I could put on my home invasion beanie here that I wore during the last Messenger stream.
Hey, if you start changing what you're wearing during this, it becomes a roguelike stream. You gotta be careful.
That's true, so let's just throw that away.
I don't want to die yet.
I've already done a roguelike stream, I'm good.
I mean, it may be my life, but still.
So, last week we did not record because there wasn't enough to warrant a full episode. So,
yeah.
And Clues has suddenly...
moved to South Park, Colorado.
Well, I've got this hoodie. We're going to put it on. Unfortunately, the headphones make it kind of flare out here. So it's got
No, that's what makes it work.
It's okay. This is going to be the picture that shows up on the news later. We get it.
I have a small manifesto I'd like to go ahead and read while we've got the show.
It just says no blue. What could it mean?
It does say
it's
a lot.
On 60 minutes.
I mean, a lot.
Anyway, okay, so, last week, here's what we missed.
All right.
There was a Grand Prix. It was in Warsaw.
Yeah?
Eduardo Zajkalik won the whole thing. It was limited, so.
Yeah. 1,823 people playing limited.
Did you say, wait, what was that number again?
1,823.
Holy crap.
A lot of people.
Wait, is that right?
Well, the thing on the first page says 1836, but when I pulled up the final listing, it was 1823, so I assume 13 of them moved to Australia and died after round 3.
Drop bears.
That's how they get you.
It's a long way from Warsaw, but you know that's why it took 3 rounds.
Ah, see what you did there.
Either way, over 1,800 people.
Yeah. Dang. So, let's see. Rounding out the top 8, we've got Julian Berthaud in 2nd, Pascal Vieren in 3rd. What? Yuri Babich, let's say, in 4th. I think that's as close as I'm going to get. Look at this blast from the past. Julian Naughton. Knighton. It's something like that. In 5th place, hang on, let me click see profile. Wasn't he like the world champ? 2004 world champ, 2016 world champ, yeah. And he made the top 8. Damn.
Does well in election years, apparently.
Right? Okay, 6th place, Johan Wallner. 7th place, Hans Karim. And in no place... Oh, because
they don't list it.
Because he was DQ'd, Christian Sable.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know how to change the interface, so here you go.
Whoops, well, they didn't get a picture of the other guy, so...
Yeah.
What was that? That was Cody Buckawing, subbing for the 6 month in a row. Why, thank you! Welcome back to the pool. Yeah, so there was a DQ, and here's the statement, as you can see on screen, in his quarterfinal match against Julian Berthaud, Christian Sabold, something like that, was just, and Wolfie just subbed for 6 months in a row too. Nice. He was disqualified from the tournament. Head judge Jürgen Baert, I think is something like that, explained the situation. Ahem. He was disqualified for misrepresenting the game state in a way that would give him an advantage. To be more exact, my judgment is that he tried to gain more information from his opponent while deciding whether or not to counter a spell. Basically, by first making his opponent believe that the spell was going to resolve, and when he had more information, go back to consider his options. So that's a big no-no. But they don't just DQ you for that the first time, right, Clues?
It depends entirely on how the judge at the time interprets your behavior. So if it looks like a thing that you did, like, accidentally, or carelessly, they may not disqualify you on the spot. If it looks like you're like doing it on purpose, yeah, you're probably done for the day.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured that would be like a game loss or something. Like, because a DQ for a first offense. See, now, it makes sense, but it seems a bit much.
Is yeah, that well,
the world of professional REO.
Well, that's certainly part of it, but I'd have to go look up exactly what this falls under, but it's not good.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. It is not good. I mean, this is borderline cheating.
No, I don't think it's actually borderline is the issue here, which is how we just end up with the straight up, yeah, you're done. Here's a piece of paper. Oh. We're going to have you fill some stuff out.
Okay, well, there you go then. So, yeah, that's why he has no name or no place or prize winnings listed here, because whoops. But, yeah, so that was Warsaw. That's all we got. Yep. Okay. The other thing that we didn't talk about last week was the artists boycotting Magic Fests.
Yep.
So
first things first, remember, in the role of Grand Prix, we now have Magic Fests, the understudy.
Well, sort of. As a recap, the entire weekend is now called Magic Fest. The tournament itself that we used to call the main event is now called the Grand Prix. Okay? Okay. Starting with next year.
Meh.
But apparently, magic artists who come to events are being treated as vendors rather than guests. Which means it's... And the difference to that is vendors pay to be there, guests are paid to be there. And we lost Clues.
Oh, no, I'm here.
He's just hidden.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to fix a camera problem.
Hidden behind his penguin?
He feels safe.
It's a panda. It's a panda.
It's a puma.
But, oh, hidden behind his puma. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hidden behind his domesticated drop bear. Ha! That's not possible.
Not a thing. That's silly.
Anyway,
there's a difference between guest and vendor.
Yeah, and the difference is, like I said, vendors pay to be there, guests are paid to be there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're being treated as vendors, just a blanket treated as vendors, whether they have, you know, stuff to sell or not. If you're an artist at a Magic Fest, you're a vendor.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, a puma is another word for a mountain lion.
It's a chupa thingy.
It's not a chupa thingy.
Yeah.
Mythical creatures.
Yeah, so basically, if I could paraphrase, can I paraphrase this this statement about the whole artist thing? Because I had to explain to my wife the other day what was going on, because she just heard about it. Back in the day, long, long ago, when artists were invited to a GP, they were actually invited to the GP. They were often given hotel sponsorship. They had a table. They may have had a person who was kind of dedicated to take care of them, or maybe a couple of artists that, you know, make sure everything's going okay, bring them a bottle of water, watch their stuff if they have to, you know, go use the John, etc., and a place to store their stuff when they went out to get lunch, or maybe someone would bring them lunch. They were basically treated like a guest at these events.
They're also generally listed as a guest at the event on the website to draw on attention.
Right. Slowly over time, you know, like one by one, each of those things has essentially gone away. So their hotel sponsorships went away. They didn't have anybody help them out. They didn't have a place to store their stuff. Eventually it became, you know, hey, do you want to pay for a table here? So it's kind of gone from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other. And that is not what we like to call good.
Yeah. Now, it is worth pointing out that GPs, Magic Fests, whatever you want to call them, are massively expensive to put on. The cost keeps going up and up and up. And they're still, it came to light sometime after this, in between us not recording and now, that Channel Fireball Events actually has not turned a profit at all in this first year. This was on some sort of CFB live stream Q&A type thing, I think. So, like, cuts have to be made somewhere, but I think charging your artists to come doesn't seem like it, because then you just don't have artists.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is going to also be in line with where we decide, is this a convention or is this a tournament with some side thing? So we're treating it like a convention. This isn't that unusual, because artists are treated like vendors at a lot of conventions because they show up with a ton of product to sell. And the line is usually drawn with, are they listed as guests, in which case they're a draw to the event and they get treated accordingly, or are they people who have done things that people might want to buy? And I think the reasonable argument should boil down to, like, are they being used as an event draw or are they there to sell?
Very true.
And that is probably going to vary artist to artist.
So Pinball Witch in the chat here brings up something that I was going to at least touch upon a little bit. The question is it not profitable like a movie isn't profitable, or is it like legit not profitable? That's hazy, right? I mean, it is true that events are a lot more expensive to put on now than they used to be. As they get bigger, the costs don't really scale linearly with attendance, as I understand it. What's more, my understanding is there's at least been a suggestion. I can't prove any of this. I have no behind the scenes knowledge of any of this, but it's been suggested that part of the reason that they're not profitable for this year is that they're still essentially amortizing initial costs of getting this whole shebang rolling over all of the events this year. So it's possible that although they're not turning a profit this year, if like nothing changes, they may turn a profit next year doing this. But again, I don't really know. They don't exactly open up their books for this sort of thing.
True. When I saw that they said that they hadn't turned a profit, I assumed that meant literally everything was in the red. Not like, oh, the movie only made $10 million, so it wasn't profitable. Because Hollywood doesn't count.
A lot of the time when you move into a new business area, so to speak, you lose money.
Yeah.
Like the first year, and you're expected to, and that's what you know going in. Like you set up a multi-year plan to eventually make that money back and then start making profit. And I'm pretty confident that when Channel Fireball started out as this place where you can buy stuff and get content online, they weren't thinking, and then we'll run all the GPs. Like probably wasn't part of the financial plan.
But yeah, I've also heard it suggested, and again, I don't have any actual inside knowledge on this sort of thing, that a lot of these places that run large tournaments, if they're affiliated with, you know, an actual store that sells and buys, that's kind of key, cards, that the tournament itself isn't where the profit actually occurs. It's that buying and selling of cards business that goes along with the event that is actually the bread and butter for them. And so in a way you can kind of think of it as we have tournaments or we run tournaments so that we go places to buy and sell cards, like lots of cards.
All right. Mm-hmm. So the whole point of this is there is, I guess this is technically an open letter to Wizards of the Coast signed by something like, what did I say earlier? 33 artists now?
That sounds right.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I expect this to grow, honestly, unless Wizard starts writing lines into their contract about not being able to boycott Magic Fests or something stupid like that. But okay, that's what we didn't talk about last week.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Also Ultimate Masters came out, but whatever.
I mean,
wait, you mean did it come out? No, it was fully gallery? Revealed.
Yeah, the product comes out this weekend.
Okay, it's this weekend, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, everything was revealed. It comes out, what, Friday, right?
Unless you're online. The
7th? Yes. Right. So wait, what happens if you're online?
You get it early.
When do you get it early?
Thursday.
Ah, okay.
That's just their thing now, is that they get it first.
How is it? Okay, let's see. Here we go, Magic Online.
Magic Online gets it on Thursday the 6th.
But how? Oh, it's an actual set launch.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not just tucking cards into...
No, in the case of this one, yeah, they're it's just a thing. Like, it's a whole bunch of phantom things and like an actual draft league where you get stuff.
Okay. Well, there you go then.
There will be a link at the bottom of the show notes explaining the breakdown in costs.
All right. And Rastacon comes out tomorrow. So I'll go ahead and get this out of the way now. Tomorrow, starting at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I will be opening a gazillion packs of Rastacon, Rumble, and Hearthstone on stream.
Oh, okay.
So come hang out. Yeah, that's the new Hearthstone set drops tomorrow.
Gotcha.
All right. So is that everything from last week?
I think so.
Yes. Okay, so for this week, boom, here we go. We had
Events.
We had two GPs in Shizuoka. One was standard. How many people were in that one?
1,960.
1960. It's a good year. Or something.
It's an okay year.
It's an okay year. All right, so who won this? Atsushi Nakashima won the whole thing, playing Golgari midrange. Right, because standard. Okay. I was like, I haven't seen this, but nope. Legacy's the next one.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. In second place, we have Takuya Natsume playing Selesnya Tokens. Ooh. Complete with a Johnny Adversary of Tyrants. Gotta love it when that happens. Ooh, and Tristani.
Yay.
But we have seen these decks before, so let's keep going. Third place, Toshihiro Saida was playing Jeskai Control with your Teferi and your Niv-Mizzet and your Crackling Drake. Buh. Fourth place, Ryota Shimazaki is playing a more different Golgari midrange deck with main deck Carnage Tyrant, which I know makes Clues happy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's got a lot of good words on it.
Okay, yeah, there's a Chupa thingy.
It is a Chupa thingy. Look at it.
Oh my god, it's not a Chupa thingy.
Chupa thingy. That sounds terrifying.
It's not a Chupa thingy. All right, fifth place. Okay, sorry. What was I saying?
Not a Chupa thingy.
That was... well, somebody...
No dying.
I see. Hiroaki Naruki running Selesnya Tokens.
Ugh. Thank you.
Hey, look, it's Selesnya Tokens again.
Ooh, Thorn Lieutenant. Huh. Okay, thank you.
Thorn Lieutenant.
And sixth place, we have Kazuya Yokota running Golgari midrange. Detecting a trend here. Seventh
look
place.
At that Karn.
Oh, God, what did I do? I clicked on his name. Why did I do that? Why would you do that?
Because you saw the Chupa thingy and went the other way.
Dang it, it's not a Chupa thingy. Masayasu Tanahashi in seventh, running Golgari midrange. Okay. And in eighth place, I clicked on him again. It's Yoshitsugu Aoki running some deck. Who knows?
Boros Aggro, man.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Ooh, got some Dire Fleet canceled in there. Yeah.
Oh, now I'm sad. Are they just going to lift all of the Netflix shows and drop them onto Disney's new thing?
No, that's they're just killing assumption. Them. They're not pulling them over to the Disney thing.
Really?
Yeah, we can talk about it after the show.
No, that's sad. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, there you go. There's your Boros Aggro deck. If we go to the top stories, do we get some sort of breakdown? It looks like we do not. Okay, then.
Lucio was not here to break it down.
No, I'm sad.
You missed the bus.
Oh, he's freaking happy. It's because he was wall riding and he outran me even though I was on bus.
That would do it.
So there you go. That is, that was the standard Shizuoka. But there's another one. It's a legacy Shizuoka. Oh, I should point out, apparently 7 of the top 8 in standard, it was their first GP top 8.
That's great.
So yeah, that's pretty awesome. But now we're in Legacy. How many people were at
the
Legacy
King of all
Shizuoka?
Formats.
Oh my god.
1,429.
Yeah.
A lot of people at Shizuoka.
That is a lot of people. Did these run like concurrently? Or was this a 3-day thing where day 2 of the first one was day 1 of the second one or something?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I mean, considering they both ran to enough rounds to take place over 2 days, I don't think you could be in both events unless you, I guess, scrubbed out a day 1 of one of them and just jumped into the other one.
I assume that as you entered the hall, you had to draw straws to find out if you were in the legacy event or the standard event.
Ooh.
Okay, this went from November 29th to December 2nd, so I think that's 4 days, as opposed to the usual three, so...
Okay, so when we look at the actual calendar, the legacy one says November 30 to December 1, and the standard says December 1 to December 2. So, yes.
Okay.
Check that out.
Gotcha.
Hidden under the top.
Ah, yeah, okay, there we go, right there. Cool. Okay, so, clues you want to tell us all about legacy?
Oh, goodness, no, I'm not going to get all these names wrong. That's your job. I'm just here for color commentary.
But what color is your commentary?
Well, for this first deck, it's mostly colorless. See, that's what we call a straight delivery, folks. That was... See, it's...
And it was so snappy that I just didn't...
It's an Eldrazi Stompy deck, and it's perfect. That just worked out so, so well.
How did I get back here? I must have hit the mouse so hard that I hit the back button. Okay. All right.
Kodoya Kakumai came in first place with Eldrazi Stompy.
With Eldrazi Stompy, that's right.
There we go.
I mean, there's an Urborg in here, so I guess technically it's... Everything's a swamp.
Part-time swamps.
It's part-time swamps, yes.
But it's not a Chupa Thingy.
It is no. not, but it is part-time swamps.
Correct.
All right. In second place, Hiroyuki Kaga. Kaga?
Kaga.
Kaga is Kaga. Running Red Prison.
Yes, the deck formerly known as Dragon Stompy, or at least so coverage tells me that this is the newest evolution of Dragon Stompy. Now that we have goblins, good god-fearing goblins. We didn't need dragons. We've got goblins in here now. So,
is it through the power of a bridge?
It is. Sure?
I mean, you're not going to have cards in your hand in this deck, so I think Ensnaring Bridge probably works pretty well.
This is true, yes. Ensnaring Bridge is good for that.
Rabble Master and War Boss together. Whew.
Yes.
That's kind of sick.
It certainly is.
You get to pick your turn three. Just kidding, they're spirit guides.
Yeah. So there you go. That's that deck. Right? Anything else? No?
Blood moons for all.
Yes. There are
in
more than enough blood moons.
Blood moons for this next guy.
All right. The next guy is Toru Takisasa running lands. Oh, God.
That's yeah, right. Moons. Blood moon for you, pal. Blood moon for you.
Yes. Wow, he's running gamble.
Weird. Still works under a blood moon.
Under the player listing, his name is Toru Takisaka. Not Sasa.
Huh.
Oh,
interesting.
Hey, look at that.
For his deck list, it's Takisasa.
Yeah, I think the deck list is a typo.
I thought the name sounded a little weird.
Yeah, that is not a name that I can imagine. So.
Okay. So there you go. In fourth place, Takahiro Ishikawa is running Blue-Red Delver.
Nobody likes that.
But it does have Zombie Fish, so that may...
And Young Peasy,
which
is nice.
Blue-Red Delver with Gurmag Angler.
Yeah.
And Thought Seize.
Yep, that is exactly... Yeah, they're not good at this.
Good old Grixis.
And Marsh Casualties in the... It's Grixis Delver.
Yeah, they're just wrong.
Okay, moving on. What was that? That was fourth. And fifth, but see, I messed it up on fifth this time. On fifth place, Akihito Shiota is running a white-blue Delver? What? Blue-white Delver? Is that a thing?
No. Okay. This really looks like Stoneblade with some Delvers in it.
It does, yeah, because I'm looking at Stoneforge Mystic and True Name Nemesis.
It would be Azorius Stoneblade if it were on the SCG website.
Yeah, actually it would.
Abzan.
It'd be Abzan. This is Abzan Stoneblade.
Huh, neat. But it does look like a Stoneblade deck that they dropped Delver in and maybe...
Yes, Stoneforge, Jite, Batterskull, a True Name Nemesis, which is a card that still doesn't belong in two-player Magic.
Correct.
Snappy, Jace, Delver. Yeah, this... I can't say what I think of this deck.
And why is that, Clues?
Because there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
Gotcha. So in sixth place, Kenji Sumura is running Grixis Control.
Okay, I'm appreciating that they put in the prettier extended art cards now.
Wait,
Liliana's looking pretty nice when you mouse over.
Whoa, that is pretty cool. Ooh, that's the Guild's Mythic Edition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then, moving on. Seventh place, Yuta Yanagisawa. Yanagisawa, there we go, is running Stoneblade without Delvers.
Just straight up Stoneblade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does have Teferi in it, though, so there's a problem.
Ooh, yeah, that is a problem.
We got some Nemesis in there, too.
Well, yeah, it's Stoneblade.
Yeah, it's just like, ugh. And like, then the Delver's gone, but, you know, someone else is there to shiv you.
And then rounding out the top eight, Yuta Hirasawa running Grixis Control also.
Fish.
Look at him. Something about a 5/5 that costs a black is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, there's your top eight. Did we have any sort of...
Oh, we do have a breakdown. So oh, good. If you go to the top stories, here's what we have. We went to day two. So round nine, beginning of day two, looked at the decks that were at the top 50 tables. So we're looking at the top 100 decks that made day two. Not all decks that made day two, but the top 100 decks that made day two. And of those, 17 of the top 100 were running Grixis Delver. 10 were on Red Prison. So wow. That's quite a jump between those two. We level off a bit. 9 players playing Miracles, which none of them made it to the top eight. Which I guess that was a miracle, so that's kind of nice. 7 players on Sneak and Show, 7 on Golgari Depths. We kind of just take a little stair step down here, with just a couple at a time. 6 on Grixis Control, 6 on Eldrazi Post, 5 Stoneblades, 5 red, blue-red Delver, 4 Ants, just 4 Ants. We don't know how they hold the cards. I assume they got a judge to shuffle them for them. But
proportional strength.
There we go.
3 Steel Stompy, 3 Threshold, 3 Death and Taxes, 2 Blue-Black Shadow Decks, 2 Elves Deck. Thank you for representing 2 Elves. Don't care about those. 2 Reanimators, 7 Others. I'm going to assume that they were, let's see now, Red Burn, Red White Burn, White Red Burn.
Freezer Burn.
God, what is that colorless spell that is technically a burn spell?
Ghostfire?
Ghostfire. Yeah, a Ghostfire
deck. Ugin Burn.
Ugin Burn, yes. Ugin Burn. What else have we got? Oh, Cheerios. Someone was there with Cheerios. Running out of funny decks. Oh, Tezzeret Affinity was a deck that was in there. You know, I'm making all these up, right?
Rug yeah, burn.
This is all like, lies. Okay, let's.
Yeah, everything in others is lies. I'm making all this up.
But... So the problem is, if you scroll down past that, it gives you the top 100 after round 13.
Right, and at that point, blue-red Delver seems to have done pretty well for itself, as there are now 10 blue-red Delver decks that have moved up the field. Now, that seems weird because you're like, well, wait a minute. Weren't there only 5 blue-red Delver decks before? Well, yeah. But again, we're looking at the top 100, not everybody who was there on day two.
Also, it could be that some of the Grixis Delver decks were misclassified as blue-red.
As blue-red Delver. Yeah, we've changed the name. Yeah.
So what's different here? There's some Reanimator... Eldrazi Post. I wasn't listening before. Blue-Red Wizards, was that in the top list?
All 4 of the Ants were still there.
Nice.
We picked up a couple of Reanimators, 4 Reanimators up there.
A couple of Omnitail.
Both Elves. Both Elves stayed.
Yeah.
And there are now 13 copies of Cheerios. I mean, other. 13 yep, others.
13 all others. 4 Hobbits survive.
Yeah.
All right, then. And apparently, some of these cards from Battle Bond made their way into some decks. Arcane Artisan, Arena Rector, Archon of Valor's Reach, Breitling. Dang!
Yeah. I mean, most of the Aster Slings do well.
Some of the Aster Slings do well.
They usually get at least 1 show in, don't they? Which one didn't?
Did the red one ever do anything?
Yeah.
Torchling?
Torchling did stuff.
Got countered.
I mean, that is the throwback.
That counts.
I'm not bitter.
It contributed to Threshold.
I shouldn't lie to you. I'm bitter.
We know, Clues. We know.
All right.
All right. So that's That's Shizuoka. Let's get away from that. Because it's getting later all the time.
I blame time.
That is how time works.
Curses.
This is McCree's fault.
Just ask Teferi.
Too soon.
He's more of a space
guy. Is it?
Well, yeah, it's a time joke, see?
Yeah, that's my point. That, I mean, we can't tell if it's too soon or too late or if it was before. When will then be now?
Later.
Sooner. Wait. Before.
Okay, you?
It's not a Chupa thingy. All right, so let's go to, where is this? The SCG event in Baltimore.
Maryland.
That was a modern open.
Yep.
Meanwhile, in Baltimore.
Thank you, narrator man. Okay, how many people were in the modern open?
579.
Not bad. Yeah. Where Ross Merriam took it all down with the Is It Phoenix deck.
All right, and is this the deck that I'm supposed to be looking at? Somebody in the chat earlier asked me if...
Yeah.
Is this it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
Let's go take a look at this deck list.
All right.
I've been told to be on the lookout for a deck in Modern that it might be clues approved. So let's see what we got here. We got Arclight Phoenix. Okay. Yep. This is a red phoenix. I like this a lot. This is a crackling drake. A little blue for my tastes. Taylor Swift Spirit, great thing in the ice. Oh, that is way too blue. Like, way too blue.
But when you cast burn spells, it breaks out of the ice and is a great big thing that kills people.
Defrosted.
Okay, that's fair. Let's take a... Okay. All right. From a creature standpoint, these creature things over here are okay.
Yeah.
They're okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the spells. Gutshot. I approve. Is it charm?
Does two damage.
Things. It does two damage.
It also draws cards and discards them, so it's
lets,
red.
It lets you rummage. Okay, all right. Yeah. Lightning Axe, totally on board. Lightning Bolt, oh yeah, of course. Come on. Manamorphose.
I mean, it's got the magic words, and it doesn't have blue in it, so.
Yeah, but are you looking at this opt? Thought Scour? Oh, God, that art is horrible. Chart of Course.
That's a whole lot of red cards that just take a little work.
Faithless Looting? Okay. Serum. I don't know. I don't think this is the deck I was supposed to be looking at, though. I don't know.
Can you fix it with an Alpine Moon?
I feel like...
Can you fix it with two Alpine Moon?
The Alpine Moon does help. As does the Anger of the Gods. Okay, so this gets a... I guess it's okay for now. From clues. That's what it gets.
And then there's surgical extraction just to take away the goodwill.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that.
All right.
So that's first place.
And then in second place, we've got a mono red phoenix, which is
this is sounding
a
better.
Different name elsewhere.
Let's take a quick glance at this. I promise it'll be quick. Arclight Phoenix, Bedlam Reveler, Swift Spear. Yeah, love it. 17 mountains. One Ramanop runes, okay? Like it.
And then burn, just burn. No. Oh, and risk factor.
Oh, God, look at all the burn.
And looting.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Eidolon's in the board. Oh, let's move an Eidolon to the main. Although that's going to hurt us a lot, isn't it? Let's keep the Eidolon in the board for now. You're right. Okay, good choice. Good
maximum
talk.
Maximum velocity.
Good talk.
And you've got the one maximized velocity because that gets you two spells for your Arclight Phoenix.
Yeah. Pump all right,
so that was Jeffrey Carr in second with the Mono Red Phoenix. We've got Joe Blizzard, who sounds like a made-up person that you blame things on in World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was a mascot for Dairy Queen.
I assumed that he was a DC character.
Okay, so these are three takes that are all accurate, but instead, this is Joe Blizzard playing Azorius Control in third place, which is the deck you'd think it is, yeah. Okay.
Yep, I see no reason to look at that.
Let's see. In fourth place, we've got Max Medeiros running the Grixis Death Shadow deck, which is the Death Shadow deck we all know and love. Or no.
Fish.
In fifth place, Max Schrantz is running Jund.
Jund him out.
Definitely gets points for the name. Max Schrantz. I like it. But it's definitely totally Jund. Look at how Jundy that is. Oh my God, it's Junding me from here. Quick, won't you jund the children?
Hey, that reminds me. I saw Bob over the weekend.
Like, Bob do something? Or Bob the Killer Goldfish? What?
No, like Bob Mayer, like Dark Confidant. Like Bob. Like,
the
Bob. He was.
Oh, gotcha.
He was at PAX Unplugged. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I saw him there.
He is a very imposing presence.
He is.
Yeah.
In sixth place.
Yes, in sixth place, Seth Manfield is playing Jeskai Control. I almost said that the other way around, but since it's Jeskai Control, it might be playing Seth Manfield. You never know.
Could be.
In seventh place, Jeskai Control is also playing Brad Nelson.
That sounds in meta. It was an SCG event.
Yeah, it's on brand. And rounding out the top eight, Austin Collins is on the Ironworks deck. Yep.
Thopterist.
Yeah, you gotta have a Thopterist in there. Looking further, we've got more Death Shadow, Bant Spirits, Mono White Martyr. Ha! Look at that. Ranger of Eos. Oh my god.
Been a little bit.
Sarah Ascendant Squadron Hawk. Elspeth Sun's Champion. Oh my god. Gideon of the Trials, Gideon Ally of Zendikar. Look at this deck. This makes me happy. Or sad.
They own all the pieces of this deck.
I can't tell which. All right, then. That's a thing. Let's move on. Okay, where was that? That was 11th. We've got Colorless Eldrazi, Mono Green Tron, Infect, Grixis Whirr, and more Infect. That's the top 16.
All right.
All right. I'll join in the saying all right.
All right.
Am I one of the cool kids now? All right.
Wait. Are you implying that we're the cool kids? Because yes. We're not.
Oh.
Okay.
And Pinball Witch threw 5 bits and said, all right.
All right, all right, all right.
It doesn't make it better. It's never made it better.
That's the thing about these modern decks. I keep getting older. They stay the same age.
That's what I was trying to cut off. That's why I didn't make the joke. Because I knew it would happen.
That's right.
So, let's go to the modern classic then, shall we?
Yeah, they
how many
the
people
same cards
were in
keep
that?
Changing the names. Okay.
137.
137. Okay. Wait, already looking at the top three deck lists here, I'm like, what?
Yep.
Hang on, I'm just gonna open all these up real quick.
All right.
Okay, so, Aaron Sanford took first place with Runaway Red, which is the mono red deck that we looked at before, except it adds Runaway Steamkin and Soulscar Mage.
Maximum comedy.
So it's got Arclight Phoenix, Bedlam Reveler, the Steamkin, and the Soulscar Mage, and then a lot of burn and card draw.
I appreciate the one snow covered now.
Well, you know, just in case.
It's fun that way.
Yeah.
Oh, Stormbreath Dragon. Look at him.
What?
I'm sorry. I was looking at the next deck. I got ahead of you.
Like, there's not a Stormbreath.
My apologies.
I can't look at him.
my apologies. I thought right. that was in the internal monologue. It was not.
Clues forgot to switch off there. In second place, Eli Brooks is running the Gruul Land Destruction deck.
Oh, Stormbreath Dragon. Look at that.
Oh, hey, look, Stormbreath Dragon. I'll be damned. And Carnage Tyrant. Wow, that's not a Chupa Thingy.
It's totally a Chupa Thingy.
And the Lone Inferno Titan, because why not? But yeah, this is the deck that uses Blood Moon and Wanvuli Acid Moss and Primal Command and Stone Rain to
stop you.
Yeah, to do terrible things to your opponent.
Yeah, if you're only going to use one Titan and it's not Primeval, use Inferno.
This is the deck that throws a house party in your house and you can't stop it.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. So then in third place, Nadhir Tabash. I used to know how to pronounce that, but I have forgotten. He's playing the Goryeo's Vengeance deck. You know the one with Goryeo's Vengeance in it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, World Spine Worm, Borborygmos Enraged, and Rillabran.
There he is.
Yep. Okay. So that's weird. Okay, here we go. In fourth place, things are settling down. We've got the Blue-White Control deck. Yep. That's Robert Cedar. Fifth place, Grixis Death Shadow by Akil Vaid. Vaid, one of those. Yep. This is the deck we all know. Moving on. Steven Puzio in sixth with Mono Green Tron. Yeah, okay. Things look like they've calmed down now. Mario Martinez with Golgari Midrange in seventh. Yep, that makes sense. And then Brian Hawk in eighth with Elves.
Yes, Elves represent. Oh my goodness. Look at that.
There's not elves? a uh
Elves of Deep Shadow are in here.
Yeah, they are.
Look at that.
And a full four Shaman of the Pack. There's not a Stomp dude, the big guy. Whose name
Crater
is...
Crater of Behemoth?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oof, oof.
It's not a Crater of Behemoth. No, no, this is...
Not Elf Ball.
This is Azuri Elves.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the traditional elf deck.
So it's like vomit out a gazillion elves and win with either Shaman of the Pack or Azuri.
Yeah, we're actually going to kill you with the elves.
Yeah.
Not with their puppy. Their little puppy who kind of got big for his paws.
They do that.
Yeah, that's right. I called Craterhoof Behemoth an adorable little puppy.
I mean, I agree with everything but little.
So for those, I don't know if that sound came through the microphone, but something in my chair just made a popping sound. So if I suddenly scream and go flying out of frame, it's because my chair broke.
Oh, I thought you were going to blame it on telekinesis.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah, I don't know what that sound was, but I'm a little concerned now. Okay, anyway, moving on. So that's the top eight.
There was an Affinity in ninth place. Let's see if it's actually Affinity.
Nope. Getting your hopes up there, buddy?
Nope. Oh, I had high hopes. Nope. That's technically not Affinity. It just looks like it. Nope.
Just plays it on TV.
No. It's a Metalcraft deck.
Yep. We've got Storm, Selesnya, Hexproof. Is this Bogles? This is Bogles. They're really trying desperately to like name crap in ways that people don't know what it is, aren't they?
That's the idea.
Good job, Star City. Titan Shift, Dredge, Golgari Midrange, Storm, and more. Affinityless Affinity. Yep. None to see here. Okay. All right, so that was Modern. So there was also a Standard Classic. Who's, how many people were there?
Standard Classic had 122.
Okay.
Meanwhile, in Standard...
Where Andrew Vorrell, the Hulklade, won with, is it Drake's?
It is.
That was that card's name, right? Vorrell the Hulklade?
So I looked that up. I don't remember what Vorrell's thing was. Yes.
Okay.
Vorrell of the Hulklade.
Oh, it's Vorrell of the Hulk. Okay, so this is Andrew of the Hulklade. Got it.
In my defense, it was in Dragon's Maze, and that art had a lot going on.
Very true. So yeah, is it Drake's? We know this deck. We're in Standard now. So yeah, this is Arclight Phoenix, Crackling Drake, and then Electromancer and Murmuring Mystic. But we're in Standard now. And then a lot of little cheap spells.
Bad.
So yeah, Arclight Phoenix, as we said a couple weeks ago, has busted its way into Standard and Modern. Wow. Seems good. Alright, so that was first place. Second place is Miles Houseman running Golgari Midrange. I don't know why I'm bothering to open all these, because these decks are all things we've seen before.
Hey, there's a Chupa thingy.
That is not a... Oh, there is Chupa thingy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it actually is. It's Ravenous.
I thought you meant the Carnage Tyrant. Like, no.
Someone should feed it.
They probably not should. It. But
no, yeah, I'm not doing it either.
I'm touching my nose.
That's how you know.
All right. So, third place, Tim Vannon is in... Is it Drake's?
It is.
That's what I hear. Zansayed in fourth on Golgari Midrange. Not a Chupa thingy. More is it Drake's in fifth, Harlan Fyrer.
Still is.
Shut up. Golgari Midrange in sixth by... Okay, my brain read Samuel Monotone, and I'm like, the poor guy. No, it's Montone. Okay, we're good. Golgari Midrange in seventh by AJ Kerrigan. And then... Okay, Mouse, work with me. Work with me. There we go.
Nope.
Stay on target.
Oh, and look, we have the Boros Aggro in eighth place again. By Pearson Geyer.
A few more seconds.
You know it's Boros because the red's in the board.
Yeah, wow. I was going to say, yeah. I keep waiting. I was scrolling down these cards one at a time, just waiting for the Boros to kick in.
This is actually the White Weenie main deck.
This is the White Weenie with got a little bit of red in the board.
Very little.
There's not enough red.
Six, seven
this
cards.
This is a Boros wannabe. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Boros well, wannabe also it, sounds like a
it's white weenie, with a bit of wannabe, yeah. Okay, then.
That's not how you Boros.
Looking at the rest.
You want to know how you Boros? That's burn in Modern. That's how you Boros.
Yes. Looking at the rest, we've got Golgari midrange. Hey, it's Emma Handy in ninth place. Jeskai control, Golgari midrange. Oh, mono blue aggro. Hang on. Is this that? Yep. This is the
one
fish
of these
fairies.
Words is not like the others.
Mono.
This is the, it is mono, in fact. Yeah, this is that weird fish fairies deck that we've talked about. It's, yeah. It's the fish deck that plays like fairies. Sort of, kind of. Sort of. Mono white aggro. Is this actually mono red or is this half red like, oh no, this is actually mono white even in the board. Wow.
See, I was hoping for it to be red in the main deck and white in the sideboard.
Yeah, but no, it's actually straight mono white. Look at that.
22 planes.
Yeah.
Respect.
And then two more Golgari midrange.
And the artwork's my favorite planes.
And an Izzet Drakes, and that's the top 16.
Hooray. Huzzah. Hooray.
Huzzah.
Take that, tournament.
Magic was played.
It's what I hear, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's it for tournaments. Like we said before, Ultimate Masters comes out this weekend, so there's a link to the release notes and the card image gallery down in the show notes. By all means, check that out. Yeah.
I had an opportunity to play Ultimate Masters this past weekend, and I did not.
Did you decide to buy a car instead?
It was far too expensive. yeah, so we were at PAX Unplugged in Philly over the weekend, and they were running some Two-Headed Giant events, because my wife and I love
that. Sounds very expensive.
Giant. But the only Two-Headed Giant events they ran all weekend were Ultimate Masters Two-Headed Giant. And it's like, well, that sounds really expensive, doesn't it? And the answer is, yes, it's $60. And then you're like, oh, is that per team? No, that's per person. We'll find something else to do.
You get how many packs? Like eight?
Eight.
Yeah.
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 I mean, you save $20, asterisk.
Yeah. It was not great.
If you were at an event this weekend and you're actually doing this and someone opened Squee, I just want you to go, ah, for me. Don't tell them why. It'll be great.
And then while you're at it, point at their shoes and go, what are those? Because why not? So, all that's left is a little bit of assorted Ravnica stuff. Because some promotional art has been popping up here and there. So, for instance, we've got this Pro Tour Regional Qualifier Top 16 playmat that shows Kaya.
Nice.
Which we knew Kaya was in, what's it called? Damn it. Ravnica Allegiance? Yeah. Because she was on the cover of the book.
That would signify a good chance.
Yeah. So, yeah. But look, now she's on a playmat looking all spiffy. Decked out in Orzhov colors and
check it.
Stuff.
So, what exactly is the logic here if you look at the... we did link to this tweet, right?
What, I mean, it's on the screen.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You've got it up. I'm looking at a link that I've got up. I should be looking at this screen up here. How exactly is it that we know that she is Bolas aligned?
Because someone said so? I don't know.
See, that's what I don't quite
follow.
Oh, okay. So a pinball witch in the chat has said Bolas hired her to kill the Ghost Council? Is that a thing that we know happened?
I think someone said or someone read into somewhere that all of the guilds that have a planeswalker in front are Bolas aligned, but I don't know if that's a thing that's been stated as fact or if something someone read into something.
Okay,
because everything is hearsay without a link. So
is this one of these like logic puzzles? Is it that all Bolas aligned guilds are headed by planeswalkers, but not all guilds headed by planeswalkers are Bolas aligned? I don't know. I think that all fish are mammals is what we came up with after that logic puzzle. Yeah, that sounds right.
Aren't they?
Yeah, that totally sounds right.
Zombie fish.
Okay.
Which actually raises new and troubling questions about the Gurmog Angler, if it's a mammal.
Isn't it?
It has hair and nurses its young.
Zombie.
Okay. It's got real creepy. Okay, I'm sorry.
So there's that. There's Kaya. Check her out. Whatever. And then we've got Domri showing up here on a something or other at a...
This looks like a unfolded table tent.
Yeah.
Yes.
It looks like. Or a not yet folded table tent might be the way to go.
Yeah.
Table tents at like... this weekend's RPTQ, according to Charlotte Sable. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, leaning up against that boar kind of reminds me of... some of the enemies in Twilight Princess who are like, I've got a boar, I'm going to ride it at you, and then you beat them up.
That does lame. Look like a Zelda boar, doesn't it? Specifically Twilight Princess, yeah. Or Wind Waker, right?
It does, and keep that in mind when we go to a future Link here in just a couple of minutes.
Would that okay. be this next one, the mountain?
It? Yeah, it totally is. It's
yeah, and then we've got this... Jeremy Noel posted this picture of a GP, well, Magic Fest promo mountain with some Wind Waker-y looking, well, Legend of Zelda looking stuff going on.
Yeah, I'd say Breath of the Wild. That's what
yeah,
this
but
reminds
it, but this look is older than that.
Yeah, I know. It's just that's what I played most recently, Zelda-wise. So
fair enough.
Okay, so it's confirmed. Bolas is
Ganondorf.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get far enough in the game, they're always Ganondorf.
Right.
This is how you know magic is actually ending. If it turns out Bolas was Ganondorf, that means there's like two boss fights left.
Which, does that make Jace Link and...
He wouldn't remember.
Well, that would actually be very Link-like. We keep forgetting that we did this before.
No, Jace is like the boat. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so Jace is the boat. Okay,
I'm fine
with that.
But hang on. Jace might be Link because he's already been stranded on an island, like maybe Koholint Island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that a Johnny is a Goron.
That's racist.
Okay, I tell you what. There's a way to figure this out. What we're going to need is we're going to need to go to Pottery Barn with the Planeswalkers and wait. That's how we figure it out.
First one that just starts matching pots is Link.
That is science right there.
Okay.
It was Tybalt all along. Playing the long game.
So, yeah, but the art on this promo mountain is really neat and hints at something. Obviously, we don't know what, because why would we? But it's neat. Definitely... getting the Twilight Princess Wind Waker vibe from it, though. Like, for real, though.
Neat. Yeah, it was kind of giving me some Final Fantasy XV vibes, but fantasy setting, we've got neat light-up runes in the dark. So, it all works out. Don't worry, though. It's a promo card. It may mean nothing.
That's also true. It could just be neat art that they had laying around.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though. They seem to be a little better about that. I guess I'm good for stuff to talk about since
I will hit the MTGO stuff pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean there's one more bit here. Well, sure, why not? Where so here was some art by somebody for the Chandra comic, and then here was the actual cover, and she's smiling in this art, and
which is weird.
And people in the responses to this are like pissed off that IDW must have changed the art, but that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, someone somewhere changed the art, but
and chances are it was the artist.
Well, yes, but why?
I mean, odds are the art wasn't complete when the initial picture popped up, and then they finished it with another round of feedback.
Yeah, that's usually how it works. I mean, the goggles are also less stupid in the smiling art, too, because the goggles look like they have an issue going on here on her head in the badass face art. But this just goes to show you, Magic players will complain about anything. They're like, oh no, somebody changed the I bet they did it without the artist's permission. Shut up. Be quiet. You don't know any of the reasons or who changed it or anything. Stop it. Okay. Maybe she's actually happy in the story.
That doesn't sound like her.
She might be happy because things are on fire.
She could also be happy because things are on fire. Also, my elbow just popped. That was painful.
I mean, I will admit that the idea that she's ever happy while she's wearing a tank top armor thing with a chainmail on her tummy and also everything's on fire, kind of questionable. But she's been doing this for a long enough time that you do you, girl. Now go light Jace on fire.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a movement we can all get behind.
So, all right. Now we've got a little, is there any Magic Online news? Like a little bit of stuff?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
So there's a link in here, like I mentioned before, for the Ultimate Master stuff. I'm not going to read that to you, but you can see what the events are there. The important thing is it comes out Thursday online.
Yep.
And there's a bug blog update because I have a question and Twitter did not answer it for me.
Even with Clues and I both retweeting it to try to spread the word.
So, like, every once in a while, like every 2 weeks, usually, they put up a bug blog that lists everything that does and doesn't work in Magic Online to their knowledge. And I tend to read over those in case I see something super big and critical. But when I was looking over this one, I noticed something that confused me. So, ignoring the other stuff going on here, like, yeah, whatever. The first one under gameplay. Pili Pala can incorrectly pay for its own untap ability by tapping to use the ability granted by Grand Architect. The wording on that confuses.
Here's Pili Pala.
Yeah.
Two and untap to add one mana of any color to your mana pool. Okay? Okay. And then Grand Architect says, tap an untapped blue creature you control to add two mana to your mana pool. Spend it only to cast artifact spells or activate abilities on artifacts. But you can make an artifact blue.
You can use the Architect to make the Pili Pala into a blue artifact and thus fulfill all the requirements stated there.
Yeah, right. And we can't figure out what this means because Pili Pala that's been made blue by Grand Architect should be able to tap itself. Oh! Yeah, you should be able to tap it using the Grand Architect's ability.
Right.
Yes.
And use that two mana to untap the Pili Pala.
Yeah, netting you one mana of any color.
No.
And then you what do you mean no?
Oh, wait, that's an untap ability. Yes.
Yes.
Ignore me.
That's why you would do this.
Yes, that's exactly why you would do this.
Yeah.
But we don't understand. It says, can incorrectly pay for its own untap ability by tapping to use the ability granted by Grand Architect. The only thing that I could come up with was that maybe it thinks you can do that without making it blue first?
Yeah, either it thinks that you can just do that without making it blue first, which would be a mistake, or there's a possibility that the mechanic for untap on this card doesn't understand summon sickness.
And that's my theory.
Because I could see that coming up too, because normally it doesn't matter since, you know, you can't usually tap these things when you play them to untap them.
Yeah, don't forget.
There are other cards that tap cards.
It's true, but don't forget, the untap ability on Pili Pala is affected by summoning sickness. So if it's tapped on the turn you play it, you can't pay two to untap it because it's before the colon.
Right.
Right. So, like, it's entirely a curiosity thing on my point because it's not clarified here as to which of these things or something else entirely isn't working. Because played the way you're supposed to play it, you can totally do the Pili Pala Grand Architect thing to make, you know, infinite mana of whatever color you want.
Yeah.
Provided you've appropriately made it blue and nothing is summon sick. So that's just weird. Like, the description's a bit short, so I was just curious. I don't think there was anything else super exciting.
I want to know what this one means. If Karn Liberated restarts the game, there's a display issue with shocklands such as steam vents. What? I wonder what that means. Like, do they show up as a black screen, you know, instead of art? Do they show up shifted 3 inches to the left? Like, I don't understand. Are there colors inverted? I want to know what that looks like.
I'm going to say that they show up flipped, not transformed, flipped. They're all upside down.
I mean, that would be funny. Do they show up with, like, instead of the art, there's a picture of Ernest Borgnine? Like, what?
That would be impressive.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know.
The number of glitches involving Karn Liberated restarting the game online is understandable. I'm impressed that that works at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's entertaining.
Wow, this one's messed up. If a player clones a Nullhide Ferox with clone, even if its ability is activated, its controller still cannot cast non-creature spells. And you remember it says you can't cast non-creature spells, but anyone can pay two, so it loses all abilities. But if you clone it, then that doesn't actually turn it off. That's weird.
Yeah.
Wow, this last one is funny, too. If you control Kalitas, you create a zombie creature token when a creature you control owned by an opponent dies. A creature you control owned by an opponent. Okay, so if you snatch their dude and then sacrifice it. Wait. If a non-token creature an opponent controls would die, instead you get a zombie. Okay, so it's looking at who owns it instead of who controls it in that case.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when your stuff dies, you're not supposed to get zombies, only when their stuff dies. So if you steal their thing and get a zombie, well, that's cheating. Damn it, Kalitas.
And it stands to reason you should not use any of the glitches listed here or in any of the history to your advantage. If you do, you're cheating and someone can report you. Likewise, if your opponent uses any of these things to their advantage, you should report them. I go over this spiel every time because it's really important for you to note that when we say cool or weird stuff is happening, that doesn't mean go do it. Like, this is not okay. They're just letting you know so that you're aware. I would recommend against using any of the cards that have these, you know, possible interactions if you can avoid it, at least for right now. I suspect the Pilipala Architect thing is probably going to be fixed pretty soon since it's relevant. I'm not sure how much of a hurry they're going to be in for fixing some of these graphical things or the really niche situations like the actual card clone and Nullhide Ferox. I don't think that comes up that often, and if it does, why? But it is what it is. So be familiar with the rules. Do not exploit them. Do not let yourself get ripped off.
Yep. Oh, Pinball Witch says she found the official source for the Bolas Aligned Planes have Planeswalker leaders. But then she didn't give us the source. She put a colon. But there's no link there.
It may be inbound. Stand by.
Or maybe the chat is not allowing URLs.
No, it does. I turned that off.
Okay.
Okay, maybe she was eaten by a Gru.
Oh, let's hope not. Wait, was it Drop Bears? Pinball Witch, are you in Australia? Get out!
It goes for all of you in Australia. I'd say there's still time, but that's a lie.
That is a lie.
Have you guys seen the giant cow?
Yes.
Yeah,
I've seen pictures of the giant cow before it was devoured by drop bears.
Ah, here we go. Okay.
All right.
So it's actually in a Rosewater article. Okay, let's just do planes. Here we go. The five guilds that fell to Bolas would each have a planeswalker beholden to Bolas who would lead the guild. Boom. There it is.
Beholden to Bolas.
Yeah, beholden. That's a word you don't see very often these days. All right, then. Thank you, Pinball Witch. I've seen lots of people say that, but no one has ever told me where they saw it.
Okay.
So it came straight from the Rosewater's face. Just right out of his face. There's face.
Right out of his.
Off.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway. Okay, then. So thank you, Pinball Witch. So, are we done?
Think so.
Okay.
Huh.
Hoorah.
Huh?
I was just on this Rosewater article. Sorry.
Is he a Chupa Thingy?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pinball Witch. We appreciate it.
I don't think you can ask someone if they're a Chupa Thingy.
Well, you can, but they'll probably just eat you.
Is that like asking, are you a cop? Because you have to tell me if you're a cop. Does it work like that with a Chupa Thingy? Are you a Chupa Thingy? Because you have to tell me if you're a Chupa Thingy. All right, then, gentlemen, how about we wrap it up?
Yeah, sure. You could find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There is no Iron Goblin because it's probably still at work. Yeah. But since we didn't do an episode last week, I will say that I have seen Ralph Breaks the Internet, and in my mind, it's the reboot movie we never got. So I enjoyed it. It was fun. You know that they acknowledge that a lot of their audience is older because there are lots of references to the very early internet when they go into the old part, and that's exciting. So, fun and nonsense throughout. That's going to be pretty much it for me, so go Clues.
All right, hey, if you want to hear more from me, I'm at LockLuzet, spelled just like it is in the show notes on the Twitters. I tweet things sometimes. occasionally, every now and then, I guess. We're headed into the end of the year for anyone who is in or around academia. Finals are coming soon, so good luck to everyone taking and or giving finals. You can get through this. It's going to be okay. Deep breath. Let it out. Okay. Take it away, Chewy.
By the way, clues?
Yeah.
Finals are coming up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. You'll get through this.
Are you sure?
Take a deep breath.
Okay.
Let it out. It'll be okay.
Okay. Thanks. I needed that.
I know you did. So, hello. I'm Chewy.
Hi.
Hi, Chewy.
Hello. And I'm here to tell you about our Lord and Savior. I didn't have anybody funny. Chupa thingy.
Not a Chupa.
Not a Chupa thingy. So.
Tilde Chupa thingy.
You can find me on Twitter at The Manipool. Basically everywhere on the internet. / The Manipool. That's me. There's Twitter, there's Facebook. Those are the two. Twitter's really the important one. There, we have a Discord server, the Manipool Discord server. You should join the pool. The link is down in the show notes, where we have lots of good conversations going about all kinds of stuff. And yes, over on youtube.com/themanipool, I currently hate YouTube, but I've gotten a strike against my channel for the video version of the Manipool podcast, the last one, for literally no reason. And they put the video back up, but they didn't remove the strike yet as of this recording. So considering it was an automated thing, I'm really worried about what happens if I upload this maybe or next week's Manipool and I get another strike. Because it's one of those things where you get three strikes, they shut down your account. So that's fun. But anyway, over on the YouTube channel, what's currently going on? Well, I'm cutting up some bits of the roguelike charity stream, which, by the way, ended at $1,723.45 for Take This. So that's pretty awesome, which means next year it'll be $1,724.45. Nice. But anyway, but I'm cutting up bits of the roguelike charity stream. So I've got two videos for Slay the Spire from there, and two videos for FTL from that stream that are both going up. I also finished The Messenger here on Twitch a few days ago, and so the final round of Messenger videos will be starting soon. The first one is uploaded, but hasn't had a thumbnail or any of that stuff made.
Tune in for the music.
And yeah. The music is really good in this game. It's by Rainbow Dragon Eyes. And it's badass. And Pinball Witch threw 5 bits and said, Chewie did the thing. I did! Spoilers. The Messenger was awesome. Watch the VODs. Don't watch the VODs. Wait till they go up on YouTube. Well, I guess technically YouTube is VODs, but when you hear VODs, people think of Twitch. But anyway. Yes, they will be going up in edited form on YouTube. I think there were 8 more? Think was what that ended up being. So it'll end up being a 28 video series, which is way more than I expected when I bought the game.
Videos.
Yeah, like I really thought it would be something akin to Shovel Knight or Cuphead, and no, it was way bigger and more awesome than I expected. So it's such a great game. Oh my god, if you like the retro style platformer games at all, or games with clever writing, or games that make you feel like a badass, I highly recommend it. And that segues nicely into, hey, the Manipool is now a partner over on Humble Bundle. So if you buy anything from Humble Bundle, including bundles or individual games or whatever, feel free to use the Manipool link. It's in the show notes of basically everything. YouTube videos, Monday Night Magic, the Manipool, it's everywhere. And we will get a small amount back. I don't know how that works. It's an affiliate link. You know how those work, right? Yeah.
Some.
Here on Twitch, I streamed, well, The Messenger. We streamed Overwatch last week when we didn't record Monday Night Magic. That was fun. It was me and Bill and Steph and a mute Scott. Because he didn't have a microphone for some reason. It's very strange. But that was a lot of fun.
We violenced.
Yeah, I had a lot of drives last week, so I didn't actually stream anything. It was Overwatch, and then I skipped Tuesday and Wednesday and streamed the Manapool, and then I skipped Friday and streamed Saturday with the Messenger, and then I took Sunday off, because Sunday's usually my day off. And so, yeah, more streaming coming up this week. I'm trying to figure out what to play. It's a new month. I feel like I just finished the Messenger. I feel like I should start something, but I don't know what. And these two are no help. Do what?
Nintendo?
I don't currently have a way to do that, so no.
Pizza Titan Ultra.
That will be on the list, yeah. It's still installed.
It's a good game.
But yeah, I haven't mentioned it on this show, but Nintendo lifted their hatred of YouTubers and content creators playing their games. Well, not their hatred. They stopped trying to take the money away from the people who play their games, so I no longer have to... Do what?
Also nice.
Yeah, so I no longer have to hate Nintendo, which is good, because I had a long, heartfelt Twitter thread about this, how Twitter was my childhood. No! How Nintendo was basically my childhood, and it really hurt to have to not care about anything they did because they wanted to take my livelihood away from me because they're bastards. But they're not bastards anymore!
Yay!
About that.
Okay, alright.
Yeah. So, yeah. So at some point in the future, I will be streaming... Okay, what were they? It was the original Legend of Zelda, Super Metroid, and Super Mario 64. Once I figure out how to stream all those, this will be a thing that happens. Oh, yeah. And they'll be going up on YouTube. Oh, yeah. Because those are three games that mean a lot to me personally. And they're the reason that I started doing YouTube, is because I wanted to share my experiences with those three games specifically. And I couldn't, because Nintendo wanted to take my money. Which, I don't make any money on YouTube. It wasn't about the money, it was about the principle. But
will there be swearing in the clock level of Mario 64?
The clock? Maybe? I don't know. I've played Mario 64 so many times that really nothing makes me swear too much.
It was always the clock level for me, because that was where the camera being bad
kicked in. Yeah. But, like, I played Super Mario 64 in Japanese and 100%ed it in Japanese, which was, I don't speak or read Japanese at all. So that was
then later
massive.
You find out that in English there are clues to where those stars
yeah,
are.
And then the U.S. version came out and the old man got himself the U.S. version and, like, the name of the star tells you where it is. And I'm like, you know how long it took me to find that? And he's like, yeah.
This is the one where you shoot yourself out of the cannon pipe directly into that wall way over there and then you get a star.
Do you know how I found that one? Because in the end credits... It shows it to you. And I was like, what is that?
Oh.
But nice. Anyway, that was... So yeah, that game especially, because I 100%ed it without being able to read a word of it, means a lot to me. And it's one of my favorite Mario games. It probably is my favorite Mario game ever. So yeah.
Anyway.
So that's what's going on there here at twitch.tv/themanipool at some point in the future. I mentioned the Discord server, so now over on patreon.com/themanipool, you can, well, sponsor Manipool Productions, you know, the Manipool Empire, as it were.
Manipool.
If you are a lifeguard, you can become a lifeguard. If you're an uncommon lifeguard, you get a silver name in the Discord server, ooh, and you get Manipool episodes and YouTube videos early. If you're a rare lifeguard, you get the early stuff, the gold name in the Discord server, and the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool that's uncensored and unfiltered. And if you're a mythic lifeguard, you get the early stuff, you get the odds and ends, you get the mythic orange name in the thing that I've already said three times. Discord server. It's late. And you get the sponsorship shout out on both the podcasts and on the end screen for the Chupa thingies. No, not Chupa thingy. Damn it. The YouTube videos. Oh my God. It's late. I'm so tired. So let me just thank our mythic lifeguards before my brain shuts down completely. Okay. Here we go. I think. So we've got, hang on. I lost the freaking, damn it. So we've got Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, and happy anniversary to Andrew and his wife today. Al, Paul David, that one guy who did that one thing a whole bunch. I don't think I'm going to be using that name. Team ULS, are you? Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, new name, welcome. Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Sophia Sophia Bertain, Casey, Fayan Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansens, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, here goes the chat, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Now I'm lightheaded. So, yeah, that's a lot of names. I love you all, because I quite literally could not do this full time without you. Literally. Not like the new meaning of literally that doesn't mean literally. I mean like the old meaning of literally that means literally. Right, Clues?
Right.
Literally
correct.
And Chet has just recommended that I should pre-record the end slate each month. Nope. This is way more fun. So, are we done? We're done, right? So this has been Monday Night Magic, number 633.
Damn.
Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.